Good morning, friends. Welcome to the Daily Bread. I'm Joseph Lee, and we're continuing our study with the book 28 Days to Powerful Prayer, written by Dr. Dave Early. This morning is day 21, and the lesson is called When Prayer Goes Unanswered. Have you ever prayed, seriously prayed about a matter, but received no answer? Have you removed the roadblocks to answered prayer, but you still don't see a response to your request? Are you living as right with God as you possibly can, but he still seems deaf to your pleas relating to something you're ardently praying about? I understand, because I've gone through these same things myself, and I totally get it. Waiting for an answered prayer and waiting some more. I have been humbly, earnestly, desperately praying about a very important matter for several years, but I have received no answer. During this season of supernatural silence, I've carefully gone through the checklist of roadblocks to answer prayer, as we discussed in day 15, and have done everything I can to meet the conditions for answered prayer, yet no answers. I have examined my motives with boldness and faith. I have prayed confidently that God's answer to my request will accomplish his will, advance his kingdom, and glorify his name. But no answer has come. I've diligently prayed scripture promises and have prayed scripture prayers over this matter. I have been careful to pray with thanksgiving and praise. I have forgiven everyone I can think of. I have repeatedly surrendered the issue to God. I even fasted for 40 days, primarily to see a breakthrough in this one area, yet there was no visible progress. My wife and I have been united in prayer about this matter for over a year. We ask spiritually mature people to join us in praying for this request. Recognizing the reality of spiritual warfare, we have been persevering in prayer until a breakthrough comes. All of that end, at least from my perspective, not much positive has happened. In fact, as I write this, some things have gotten worse. Why? The answer may involve three important questions about unanswered prayer. Three important questions. In my own prayer life, I have learned that there are three important questions I should ask myself when my prayers are not being answered. Number one, is it me? When I believe I am asking for something legitimate and see no results, I ask God to show me why he is not answering. Sometimes the answer points right back to me. To put it another way, I am the reason God has not answered my prayers. Maybe I'm hanging onto a specific sin, or perhaps there is someone I have yet to forgive in my heart. Maybe I have prayed with selfish motives, or possibly I have prayed in doubt and not faith. The good news is that when I correct the problem, the answer comes. On some occasions, I have sensed that I needed to add fasting to the equation. After I fast and pray, I receive the answer. Number two, is it Satan? In Daniel 10, we see that God sometimes sends the answer the moment we begin to pray. Sometimes, though, his answer is held up because the enemy is interfering. Satan often views the answer to prayer as especially damaging to his kingdom and darkness, so he fights to keep the answer from coming. Remember, when spiritual warfare is holding up God's answer to prayer, that often means that the breakthrough is near. That's why it's important to persevere in praying until we receive the answer. Number three, is it God? There are times when nothing we do seems to make any difference. We pray and pray, yet the heavens are silent. God is distant, and our earnest request seems to have been totally ignored. Sometimes God himself is the reason our prayers are not answered. Let's take a look at this in more detail. Six reasons God does not answer. There are several possible reasons for unanswered prayer that all revolve around God. Here are six things to consider about God when it seems He isn't answering your prayers. Number one, God is sovereign, so He does not need to explain Himself to us. In Psalm 135, verse 6, it reads, "The Lord does whatever pleases Him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and in all their depths." Psalm 115:3 says, "Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases Him." God knew Job was a godly and good man, yet in a series seemingly of senseless attacks from the enemy, God allowed Job to lose everything. Remarkably, Job responded with worship and prayer. See Job 1, verses 20 through 22. He also begged God for relief from his pain and an explanation for this senseless ruin, but God was silent. Job's friends were no help. In fact, they falsely blamed Job for his suffering. Yet Job maintained his faith and continued his prayers as he pleaded with God to give him an audience. Finally, God appeared to Job, but instead of letting Job air his griefs, instead of explaining his inactivity and silence, God gave Job a mini tour of creation. Instead of Job getting to question God, God further crushed Job's pride by asking him a series of rhetorical questions. God's point was clear. "I am God, you are not. I do not need to explain myself to you." Job answered that he was convinced that God is sovereign and that he had no right to question him. See Job 42, verses 1 through 6. Then he prayed for his self-righteous, judgmental friends. That seemed to be just what God was looking for from Job. The next thing we see is the Lord taking up Job's defense before his friends, turning his situation around and blessing him with twice as much as he had before. See Job 42, verses 7 through 16. God is the sovereign creator. He does not need to explain his activities or lack of activities to me, to you, or to anyone. Number two, God's ways are not my ways, so I won't always understand why He does or does not do certain things. Let's look at Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is infinite, and we are not. He has unlimited knowledge, and we do not. He has perfect understanding of all things, and we do not. Therefore, God does things that are beyond our ability to grasp. When we are in heaven, we will receive more understanding of God and His ways. But until that day, we will sometimes struggle to see or understand what God is doing. In 1 Corinthians 13, 12, it reads, "For now we see only reflection in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." Number three, God is eternal and perfectly patient, so He does not work according to my timetable. God is eternal. He dwells outside the realm of space and time. He lives in a never-ending present. God is also patient. The Old Testament refers to God as a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Solomon stated that God has a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. In speaking of God's patience, Peter reminded his readers that an eternal God views time differently than we do. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. See 2 Peter 3, verse 8. God does not work on our timetables. It may seem, though, that God, his answer to you is taking an eternity to get to you. But he knows that it is not the case compared with eternity. It has been a mere blinking of an eye. God will answer when he sees fit. Maybe we are asking for the right thing, but God knows that giving it to us now would be the wrong time. We need to be patient and trust his timing. Number four, God does not always give us the little thing we want now because it might hinder the bigger, better thing he wants to give us later. Consider Joseph. He probably prayed something like, "Set me free from slavery," or later, "Get me out of prison." But God did not answer the way he wanted him to. Yet, because God allowed Joseph to remain in prison, he was given an opportunity to interpret Pharaoh's dream. As a result, he became prime minister of Egypt. I am sure that it did not make much sense to Joseph then, but it would later. Consider Jesus when he thought about the anguish he was about to endure on the cross. He asked God to take this assignment away and deliver him from pain. See Matthew 26, verse 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." But the Father did not answer. He was silent. Why? Because he had a bigger perspective. Jesus saw the agony that lay immediately ahead, but the Father saw the greater glory, the salvation of the world, and the greater elevation and exaltation of his Son. Number five, God is wise, so he has a better plan. Let's look at Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." We usually believe that what we ask God is the very best thing for us, but God is smarter and wiser than we are. He is omniscient and has unlimited understanding. See Psalm 147, verse 5. He alone has infinite knowledge of all things past, present, and future, whether actual or potential. He knows all that can be known about everything that has, is, or will, or could exist. Sometimes he knows things that we cannot see or understand. See Romans 11, verse 33. "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life," as written in Psalm 121, verse 7. Sometimes the Lord does not answer the way we want him to because he is protecting us from the danger we can't see coming. Other times, he waits for the perfect timing to give us the best possible answer. Number six, God is more concerned about my godliness than my happiness. Most of us know Romans 8:28, but few know Romans 8:29. Let's read them both. "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." When we read that God works in all things for good, Romans 8:28, we assume that good refers to things that make us happy. But to God, our good means making us more like Jesus, conformed to the image of his Son. God may be slow in answering our request because he is using the postponement of gratification to grow us up in Christ. Your 28 Days to Powerful Prayer. When you face unanswered prayer, it is important that you do not get discouraged and give up. Keep praying, keep seeking, keep asking, and God will answer when he wants, how he wants, and as He wants. Just trust Him. Here are some questions to consider. Please consider writing them down and reflecting on them. Number one, are any of your prayers going unanswered right now? Two, who do you think may be the reason? You, Satan, or God? Number three, if you are the reason, what should you do? Number four, if Satan is the reason, how should you respond? And number five, if God is the reason, what do you think He might be up to? Friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You for this time together. Lord, we just praise You, Father, for the lesson today when prayer goes unanswered. Lord, help us, Father, during the times that we are praying to You, Father, to continue to seek Your face, Father, to continue to pray, to persevere, Father. And Lord, You will give us the answer in Your time. We love You and we praise You, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, dear friends, we've come to the end of our lesson today. You've been listening to The Daily Bread. I'm Reverend Joseph Lee, and this has been a ministry of Marketplace Evangelism Ministries, Incorporated. Until next time, take care and God bless.